One of the things I don't have control over among a lot of things. thank you, Brandon. One of the things I don't have control over is the posture with which you listen on a Sunday morning. I don't know about you, but when my dad wanted to have serious conversation with me when I was a teenager, it wasn't cool for me not to look at him. He wanted to know that I was looking at him. Maybe I was zoning out while I was looking at him, but at least I was taking that verbal cue there of engaging. He wanted the TV off. We didn't have serious conversation with the TV on. But the truth is, the cool thing is I'm not your dad, right? So we don't come in here on Sunday morning for us to have that type of conversation. And also, I'm not your boss, right? So how do you listen when your boss calls you into the office? Come into the proverbial big room office and let's have a chat. Not your boss, right? And as we talked last week, I want to be your pastor. I want to be the most faithful pastor I can be. I'm going to encourage you to pray for us. And along the way, we're going to gather every Sunday in times like this to open up the Word together. And whether or not you listen, it's totally up to you, because I'm gonna get through the Word and we're going to deal with it as faithfully as we can. And the hope is that that's going to come from a posture of love, right? Not a posture of sit down and be quiet and turn the TV off and look at me, right? Or from a posture of like, well, if you don't listen, we're going to have to make you resign from the church, because that's not how it works either, right, in the life of the church. And so today, I just want to share some things with you. You say, why are you sharing that? Because our passage today comes out of the end of Hebrews. But we're actually going to just briefly skip past the passage we're going to deal with. And I'm going to just make a note of Hebrews 13:22. I think this is one of the funniest passages in the entire chapter. All summer long, we've been in Hebrews chapter 13. And so, whereas back in the day, when this letter would have been delivered, they would have received it, they would have read it, they would have gotten on with their day. In my case, I took all summer just to get us through chapter 13, right? To which you go, yay, wait, thanks for doing that, Dwayne, right? But we get to the end of chapter 13, and in verse 22, not on the screen, he says, brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation. For in fact, I have written to you quite briefly. In other words, the writer even gets it. Like, they didn't have iPhones. They didn't have social media back then. But even the writer gets it 2,000 years ago. Like, thanks so much for bearing with me through all this. Right? So if you think about the summer, we've been in a lot of places this summer. Right? We've had people up here this summer in Hebrews 13 talking about the prison system right here in Orlando and the juvenile detention center right here in Orlando and what ministry to those in prison could look like. We've had situations this summer where we talked about things that we didn't want to talk about with younger ears in here. And so we skipped around the chapter some so that the younger ears could be out of the room so we could deal with some more mature material in here. We've had situations this summer where we've gotten to hear from some folks about lessons that their fathers taught them as they were growing up. We watched Brad Miles do a face plant right here in the middle of the worship center and then push Don Myers off a stool to the point that I was waiting on a lawsuit to happen or something, I mean, when all this was over. So we've been to some good places throughout the summer. We've talked about Jesus. We've talked about the fact that Jesus is the way for us. There's no other way. There's no turning back on Jesus, the one who gave his life for us. And so as we've gotten through, as we've gone through the summer, we end up, though, at the end of the chapter, about to say bye-bye to the No Turning Back series, but we can't do that without visiting the benediction of the book. Dan Boone, one of my pastor, professor, friends, he tells a story. He says he got done with service one day and he was greeting people on their way out the door when he said this young woman came up. And said she came up to him and she said, Pastor. He said, yes, ma'am. He said, do you want to know why I come to church? He said, well, that question sparked my interest. He said, yeah, I'd love to know why you come to church. Sure. And she said, well, I come for the blessing. When you raise your hands at the end of service and say those good words, Well, it's the only time something like that happens to me during the week. She said, everywhere else I get dumped on. She said, when you bless us, I feel like I can live another week. Dan Boone goes on in that book to say, he says, the benediction or the blessing at the end of the gathering, it's empowering. The blessing reminds people that God is at work in their response and will be at work in their world. The benediction gives boldness to a beaten down people. It whispers gracious words to those who hear grumbling and complaining and bickering all week long. He says the benediction or the blessing, it invades damaged esteem. Isn't that a powerful image? Damaged self-esteem with the Creator's value, and the blessing counters the curses of the world. Maybe that's your world today. Maybe you came into this room today, Sunday, 10:30 a.m., 10:40 for some of you. It's all good, right? But maybe you came in today and you came in a beaten down person. Perhaps that's what your week is made up of. Perhaps your week, from a word standpoint, is filled with grumbling, complaining, bickering, arguing. Perhaps your week is filled with others who are stirring the old pot every chance they get. Perhaps your week is filled with curses. And I don't mean the bad words that we don't say. I mean those who are speaking against others. Maybe your week is filled with lies. Or maybe you spend your whole week hearing gossip. Perhaps that's you today. Perhaps you come into a room like this today, and the truth is you come for some type of solace away from those types of words. Well, typically at Centerpoint, here's how it goes. Typically. Now, we took a break this summer as we got through this Hebrew series together. But typically, here's what our benediction looks like. I will come out as your pastor, and I will ask you to please stand for the benediction. Most of you will stand. And I'll either raise one hand or sometimes both hands, and I'll say to you, I'll say to you words of peace. I won't dismiss you. The church is not, it's not a military unit, so you don't get dismissed from the church. In fact, the church is a going, sent body. And so by the time I raise my hands to bless you or for you to receive the benediction, the words that I have for you or that I should have for you are more along the lines of this: go now in the peace of Christ. And I pray a prayer over you. May the peace of Christ go with you all along the way of life. And then I try to recap the day for us. And I say something like this: friends, may you use your words to give life rather than to give death. May you use your words to build up rather than to tear down. And then I'll say something like, go in peace. You are loved. That's typically what it looks like for us at Centerpoint. Different pastors, different writers have different benedictions. Different words of blessing, or as she said to Pastor Boone, different good words that they want to share with their people as their people are called to go back out into the world. Now, the truth is the word benediction is nowhere in the Bible. You can't find it. If you see the word benediction in the Bible, it's because editors put it in there in your Bible like they did in mine at the top of what is the blessing or the benediction at the end of a letter. And so this morning, they've entitled Hebrews 13, 20, and 21 as the benediction for the entire book of Hebrews. Will you please stand for the reading of the word? This should be familiar to most of us. We've heard it as the benediction each and every Sunday throughout this summer. And so the writer just last week has called on his people, will you pray for us? Pray for your leaders. And submitting to your leaders, pray for your leaders. Lift up your leaders. Encourage your leaders. And then he turns immediately to offer them a blessing. He says, in light of everything that we've read now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And the church said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. So he says, now. He said, in light of all the issues I've hit you with, in light of all the circumstances I've hit you with, in light of the long chapters I've hit you with, now, at this point, go in peace. And may the God of peace go with you. God of peace, that idea, God of peace, is but one of the many expressions that we see in Scripture where writers are trying to characterize the nature of God. In other words, if someone came up to you and said, I don't believe in God, you could say, well, in fact, I do, and I believe he's the God of peace. Right? Well, we don't see much peace around the world today. In fact, we don't, because our God is not a sovereign dictator. Our God is one who invites us into relationship. And so along the way, we hear words like that, the God of peace. Why wouldn't you want to, in a world like this, serve the God of peace? Because when we say the God of peace, we're not just talking about some random reality where there's no fighting going on. We're talking about the one who's not only the source of all peace, but also the giver of peace. And I've said this to you before, when we're in Scripture and we're talking about peace, at the end of the day, we're really talking about wholeness. We're talking about being complete. And so it could be that the writer says, may the God of all wholeness, may the God of completeness go with you, right? But also, when we talk about peace in Scripture, we talk about rest. May the God of rest be with you. You mean sitting around on my duff all day and doing nothing? No, that's called laziness, right? The God of rest is the one who comes to us in the midst of our work, or in the midst of the work that he has given us to do, and he offers us Sabbath. He offers us rest. He offers us respite. He offers us time away from the things that are grabbing us, from the words that are attacking us, from the demands that are on us. The God of peace comes along and says, I want to give you myself, and if you receive me, you'll find rest. Or perhaps for you, a better image would be this. Peace could also in Scripture mean order. Maybe your life today is just chaotic. Can I get an amen, Marley? Yeah. It's safe to say our lives right now are somewhat chaotic, trying to keep track of schedules and girls and lunches and homework and bills. And you know the drill, because you live in the same world we do. And I love the idea that God is this God of order. This God who comes in and brings a sense of wholeness or completeness through order. I can't tell you how much joy I got yesterday just organizing our spice cabinet, right? No joke. Major Adams renovation we pulled off in the kitchen yesterday. And what do? You open those two cabinets and you step back and go, I did it with some help. But you look at that little bit of order and you think, man, okay, maybe there's hope for us. The God of peace. Well, what else does the writer say about this God of peace? You see, what happens in issuing the benediction, here's what he says. He says, now may the God of peace, and then he goes on to describe some things that God of peace has done. He's the one who brought Jesus back from the dead. He spoke life where there was death. And then he goes on to describe Jesus a little bit. Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Now, if you're in this Hebrew context back in the day, you know who the shepherd is. The shepherd was Moses, who led the people of Israel out of Egypt, through the Exodus, into the wilderness. He was the shepherd. But the writer of Hebrews comes on the scene and he says, now here's the thing. Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. Okay, well, if he's the great shepherd, who are the sheep? Well, the church is the sheep. We're the sheep. Right? You can follow that imagery all throughout Scripture. You understand this group, this flock, these followers who are looking to someone for direction, who are looking to someone for safety, who are looking to someone to lead them to water, to lead them to rest, to lead them to nourishment and grass and food. And you can follow that all the way back to the 23rd Psalm. Well, the writer of Hebrews 13 says, now go in the God of peace. May the God of peace go with you. Who's this God of peace? He's the one that brought Jesus back from the dead. Well, who's Jesus? He's the shepherd of all the sheep. Who are the sheep? We're the sheep. The church is the sheep. We're looking to our leader. Who's the leader? Jesus. Who's Jesus? He's the God of peace. He's the provider of peace. He's the bringer of peace. Go with that God. Go out. Be sent out with that God into a world like ours. Well, he goes on. And so as after he describes Jesus for a minute, and he talks about the sheep, who we are as the church, here's what he does. He prays over his people a prayer. He says, now may this God of peace do what? Well, you can look for yourself. It's right there in your scripture, right? He says, now may this God of peace do what? May this God of peace equip you. Who's the you? It's not just Dwayne. It's not the writer of Hebrews. It's the church. May this God of peace equip you, the church, with what? With all the money you need in the world so you always be happy and healthy and safe. Doesn't say that, right? May this God of peace equip you with lots of vacations to Sandals, Jamaica. So no, he doesn't say that. What does he say? He says, may this God of peace equip you with everything you need, with every good thing for doing what? His will. May God resource you, give you, provide for you what? Everything that you need to do what? To live out his will in the world. And how may he do that? May he do that through the same power that brought Jesus back from the dead. In other words, church, God wants to give you the same power that resurrected Jesus. God wants you to go out into the world, a world like ours, as people who are filled with the same resurrection power that brought Jesus back from the dead, so that maybe some way, somehow, the dead places in our hearts could find life, and we could go out into a world like this, and where we discover dead, dark, dusty places, we too could speak words of life and hope and truth, so that they too may know this God of peace. May he equip you with everything good, needed, necessary, required for doing what? His will, to bring about his plans, his purpose, his desires. And where does he want that to happen, church? Where does he want that to happen, church? Where? Here? Not here.
Out there.
Out there. Yeah, where does he want all this good stuff to happen? Right? Let's get some people signed up for Country Club Church 101, right? Let's make sure a lot of good stuff happens right here in this room. No, the place that he's sending the church, empowered by the God of peace, is out there. Out there in our war-torn, beaten, broken down, abused, neglected world. That's where he needs his flock to be at work, empowered by him, bringing about his desires, his plans, his purpose. It's out there. Dwayne, where's my out there? Well, where do you spend the other 23 hours of this day and the other 6 days of your week? Well, I spend it at home. Okay, he wants his plan and purpose to come to fruition there. How? Through you and the ways that he's equipped you. Where else do you go? Well, I go to school. Exactly. He wants to bring about his plans, his purpose, his desires at your school. How? Through you in the ways that he has equipped you. Where else? I go to work. I go to my sports teams. I hang out. I meet my neighbors. I spend time taking care of my older parents. I spend time taking care of my younger kids. Wherever it is and however it is, your life comes to fruition when you're not in this gathered body. You know what he wants to do through you? He wants to equip you with all that you need in order to do everything that he wants you to do to bring about his desires in the world. That's what it means, church, to not be dismissed, but to be sent. Right? As the church, we're sent out. So we don't come here. I try to have these conversations with my 5-year-old just to like see how I'm doing. And so I said to Avery, no, Avery said to me the other day, something about us going to church. And I was like, okay, I'll try it now. Avery, in fact, we don't just go to church, sweetie. We are the church, and God sends us out into the world. Yeah, we're going to go to church today. Yep. But most of us in here aren't five. And we should be able to understand that reality, that what's happening here in Hebrews 13 is not the writer trying to gather this holy little club of believers so that they can just exist together in their little room. No, he's trying to bring them together to be empowered, to be equipped with all the good things that God wants to bless them with so that they can go out and bless the world, so that they can then do what? So that they can go out and bless the world. And therefore, before we would go, we raise our hands and we receive the blessing so that we can go out into the world another week empowered by the peace of Christ. Something greater than I can give you as a pastor, something that can only come as a good gift from God above. Well, he gets to the end and he says, in fact, this God of peace, to him be glory forever and ever. In other words, church, at the end of the day, the things that will bring glory to the Creator won't be anything this world could give the Creator, won't be anything this world could give you or me. No amount of money will bring glory to the Creator. No amount of property, no big building, no elected office, no title, no popularity, no success, no billboard chart, no nothing that this world can give will bring the glory to the Creator. What brings glory to the Creator? A church that has been sent out and is bringing about the plans and the desires of the Lord as he has equipped them. Am I making sense? The benediction is just good words. Good words with which we go out into our world to try to bless people. I don't know if you saw this news story last week. Very sad situation. Hot Springs, Arkansas. They got a call based on a lead that there was some child abuse going on in the home. And it's written on the record that as the police got there, they found a five-year-old girl, and she had been tied up. She was bruised. She had been beaten. She had been neglected. See, last Sunday, we talked about this idea that our words create worlds in which we and others are forced to live. Pastor Alyssa is going to be picking up on this theme next Sunday, talking about the fact that not only can our words bring death, our words very much can bring life. Our words can bring hope. But in this little girl's life, they brought destruction. See, it's in the report that as they intervened on the situation, the question was asked to the little girl, "What is your name?" And her response was, "My name is Idiot." Words had created a world for her. A world that she not only probably resisted at first, but ultimately began to embrace. What's my value? What's my worth? What good am I? What use am I? How am I referred to? What am I called by? What's my name? My name is Idiot. Because that's what those around me have told me it is. And church, it's in the midst of a world like that where I believe good words can have an effect. Good words could bring about change. Good words could speak truth. Good words could speak life. Good words could go out the way we've been called to go out and minister to people who right this very minute find themselves in a world surrounded by grumbling and complaining and arguing and bickering and lying and gossip. And as a church, We bear the marks of the God of peace, and we've been called to go out and to live good words. Amen. Well, we find ourselves at this moment, at the end of this series. From the beginning, we talked about the idea of no turning back, because basically what's happening in Hebrews 13 is the writer is trying to say to his church, no, don't turn back. Don't turn back on your faith. Don't turn back on your reliance in Christ. Don't turn back on the hope that he's given you. Jesus is supreme. You want to find God? Find Jesus Christ. You want to find peace? Find Jesus Christ. You want to find hope? Find Jesus Christ. You want to have a marriage that's awesome? Find Jesus Christ. You want to reach out to those who are in prison? Come alongside the one who reached out to those in prison. And perhaps the words of Jesus can shape us, mold us, encourage us, strengthen us. Don't turn back to any alternative that the world has to give. And so he says to his people, as I say to you now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Why would we ever turn our back on the giver of peace? We're going to have a response song that the band's going to lead us in. You came in today and some of you freaked out because there wasn't a card on your chair. I hope that throughout this series you've been able to keep that card with you and at least use it as a point of reflection or action for you in the days ahead. But here's the truth. The benediction is not for us a card to slip into our Bible. The benediction is for us good words to live out. And church, may we be faithful to do that today and every day that the Lord gives us. Amen.